Thank you, Sherry. Now go with me to the Song of Solomon. If you read the passage, then you know why we just sang that song. Because the beloved bride said, I will rise now and go and seek him. Let's read the text, Song of Solomon, and just read with me the first five verses, because that's as far as I got in the study. I intended to deal with the whole thing, but it's just too wonderful. Too wonderful for me. Look at verses 1 through 5. By night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. This is another blessed and beautiful story of the beloved Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. Of Christ and his bride. Seeking sinner who finds Christ. Now we're told to seek the Lord. Everyone. In Acts 17, I quoted this to you before. Listen to this. It says Paul was preaching. And he said that men should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. So everyone should seek the Lord, male, female, old, young, everyone. Isaiah said in chapter 8, should not the people seek unto their God? Shouldn't creatures seek their Creator, in whom we live and move and have our being, our owner, our ruler, in whose hands our breath is? Should we not seek Him? Seek to know Him? And yet the indictment against man is that God's not in all their thoughts. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Says God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. You know, Isaiah said this, though. He said, thou art a God that hidest thyself. He must be sought. He must be sought. Why does God hide himself? Why doesn't he just show us himself? Huh? You ever thought about that? Why does God hide himself? Isaiah said that. Well, I'll give you a couple of reasons. Well, number one, he's a spirit anyway. He's a spirit. And we're flesh. We're flesh. That which is flesh is flesh. We cannot see into the spirit world. We cannot see the things that are unseen, can we? We just believe them. We can't see them. And faith honors our Lord more than sight. Everybody's going to know someday. They're going to see. But for some, it's too late. But it's those that believe. But God is spirit. And flesh can't and won't seek God, won't hear His voice. God's Word is spiritual. God is unseen. And we won't hear Him or see Him or seek Him until we're born of the Spirit. We just won't. Another reason why God is hidden from us, from our eyes, from our sight, is to try us and prove us. True life seeks the Lord. True born-again people truly seek the Lord. I quoted to you Psalm 14, where it says, to see if there were any that did seek. And Romans 3 says that. No, there's none seek after Him. None calleth on Him. But they do now. Those that are born again do. Now, they wouldn't until God revealed Himself to them. If we seek Him, we'll find Him. And if we seek Him and find Him, it's because of three things. He loves us. If we seek Him and find Him, it's because He loves us. It's because Christ died for it. It's because He sent His Spirit to give us new birth and cause us to seek Him. A new creature. That's why. And you bless God if you can say with this woman in verse 1, she said, by night on my bed I sought Him, whom my soul loveth. You bless God if you can say that from your heart. I do seek the Lord. I not only sought Him, but I do seek the Lord and I love Him. God's people shouldn't be ashamed to say that. We're ashamed of our lack of love, but know ye not your own self? She said, I sought Him whom my soul loveth. On my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. You know how many times she said that? Have you seen Him whom my soul loveth? Have you seen Him? She said, I found Him whom my soul loveth. Whom my soul loveth. My soul. I hope you can say that. Oh, how every human being ought to love the Lord, huh? Isn't He lovely? Shouldn't all men and women and young people love the Lord? He's the Savior of all men, Scripture says, especially those that believe. But God is the Savior, the benefactor, the creator, the giver of life, the sustainer of life, the feeder, the waterer, the clother of all flesh. Everybody receives everything from God. Shouldn't they love Him? Why wouldn't they? David said this, Psalm 31, oh, love the Lord, ye saints. Exhorting that. Love, that means worshiping. Show Him your love. Adore Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Why do we come here? Because it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Why do we come here? Those that love the Lord come here to praise Him, to sing Him, to thank Him, to call on Him, to hear from Him, to worship Him. God is to be worshipped in the assemblies of saints. He's to be feared and worshipped. He's worthy of it, isn't He? And if we do, from the heart, if we do love Him, like this woman said, whom my soul loves, it's because He first loved us. Ephesians 3, go over there. Ephesians chapter 3. The reason anyone loves the Lord is because because He loves them. Ephesians 3. Now this song of song, I've been trying to impress upon us. We saw last week, saw Him coming, skipping and leaping to see His love. And that really struck me, and I hope some of you have, that the Lord delights to see His people more than they delight to see Him. That's hard to get a hold of. It has to be that way, but you know how dead and dry we are most of the time. And if it wasn't that way, He'd have kicked us out a long time ago. If He didn't love us more than we loved Him. That's just the nature of a parent's love, isn't it? A parent's love most of the time is unrequited. This Song of Songs is a love song. It's called the Song of Solomon, isn't it? Well, it was written by actually a greater than Solomon. And this is Christ's love for His bride.
He wrote this song.
And not only about himself, he writes this song and gives the them to sing to him. He writes about himself. He says, I'm the rose of Sharon. I'm the lily of the valley. Sing that to me. But he writes about her. This love song. And this whole song is a love song of Christ and his church. About Christ, this is Christ singing about his church, loving his church. He's singing to her and of her. We're going to look at chapter 4, him describing her. And throughout this song, he tells her, us, his people, how much he loves her. If only we knew. Well, Paul said this in Ephesians 3. He said, I bow my knees, verse 14, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh my. And nobody can preach on this. Because, I'll tell you why. As Paul said in another place, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit
some of those things.
Some of those things. Back to our song. Back to our Lord's song. Song of Song. Says that she, in verse 1, said, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Is it possible to seek and not find? Is it possible to seek the Lord and not find? Is it possible for someone to love the Lord and not know it?
Yeah, but not for long. Not for long. She said it wasn't long till I found him.
But it is possible. And I'm going to tell you why. Our Lord said, though, he said, you ask and you will receive, didn't he? He said, you seek and what? You will find. He said, you knock, and it'll be opened unto you. He said, you seek the Lord, and you'll find him when you search for him. How? With all your heart. But he said, if you do, you will find him. And as we've said, and as that scripture said, with all your heart, it's not a half a heart seeking. It's not a one time seeking. It's a continual seeking. It's a person in real need and with real love seeking. And if they do, they're going to find him. They're going to find him. But there are seekers who have not yet found, and there are those that love the Lord that don't yet realize it. I'll give you an illustration. This may have happened to you. I think it happened to me. You meet that one that you fall in love with. You meet them. You hear their voice, him or her. You see them, their person. And I really do believe in love at first sight. But you become at first fascinated with them. And about all you know what you're feeling. Something's starting to happen. And about all you know at that time is this.
I want to see that person again. I want to hear their voice again. And you don't know. You just think, I got to see them again. There's a need that arises.
A need. Love has begun. That's where it began. A person hears the gospel, which is Christ. If you really hear the gospel, you hear the gospel of Christ. And a person hears the gospel, and if a person really hears, if a person really hears for the first time, what's that mean? It means they've got life. Right? They've got life because the hearing ear and seeing eyes, the Lord has made them both. You're not going to hear a thing until you have life. So life has already begun. All right, a person hears the gospel, and if they really hear, life has begun, and they see, they start to see things they never saw before in the Word, unknown things, and they love what they're hearing. And they love what they're seeing. And they love where they are. Well, a man was just telling me about his 18-year-old son that the Lord is dealing with, and he's just requested baptism. And he said for the longest time he would, listen to me now, here's a man who wants his family and his children, his loved ones to hear, to know the Lord and hear His voice. He said, every time that boy would get in a truck with me, I'd put a CD in that player. And he's a captive audience. He's going to have to listen to the gospel. As long as he was under my roof, he said, I had him. He said, son, you're coming with me. Well, he'd never heard a thing till one day, one morning. He was going to worship, and the boy got up early and said, I'm going with you. He said, now, you know this is Sunday, don't you? He said, oh, I know. I want to go. And now he fell in love with the Lord, and he's requested, he's confessing Him. He's marrying Him. And this is what happens. A person hears the gospel and don't really know what's happening, but they know they love what they're hearing and see some things they haven't seen before, see Christ and their need of Him. They love to hear the gospel and be around His people, and all they can tell you is, I got to hear this. Love has begun. I sought Him, and I found Him not, whom my soul loveth. I sought Him. By night on my bed, turn with me to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. This is a picture of how a believer often seeks the Lord and can't find Him. A true believer, like this woman who is in love with the Lord, and she can't find Him. She's seeking Him and can't find Him. And how often does that happen, people? Are you with me? David said in Psalm 4, commune with thine heart upon thy bed. How we ought to seek the Lord on our bed. Before we go to bed, before we go to sleep, thank Him for the day's mercies. When we wake up in the morning, first thing in the morning, thank Him for His mercies that fail not. We know His compassions are going to be new that day. Thank Him. Someone said, don't see anyone's face before you see the Lord's. Psalm 77. So often, a believer seek the Lord and can't find Him. I cried unto God with my voice. Even unto God with my voice, He gave ear unto me. But in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore, my trouble ran in the night, ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. I considered the days of old, the years of ancient time. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I communed with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercy? Anybody? How often? And chapter 5 is what that's about. Chapter 5 is what that's about. She thinks she's lost Him forever. by night, he said. But look at verse 2 in our text, in the song. It said, I sought him, but I found him not. Verse 2, I will arise. Here's what I'll do. I'm resolved no longer to linger. I will arise now. This is somebody with a need. I'm going to get out of bed. And here's what I'll do. I'll go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. She went looking. She went looking. And look where she went looking. In the streets and in the broadways. In the broadway. Now the Lord is not everywhere and anywhere. I know. I just read it to you. In him we live and move and have our being. And Paul preached there that he's not far from us. And yet his special presence, or where you'll find him, is not just anywhere and everywhere. You'll find him where he's promised to be. If you really want to find him, you will find him where he's promised to be. And the reason I said before why he tells us to seek him, now, this is a test. Who is looking for him? Who's really looking for him? As he said, if you do, you'll find me. Even if you don't find him the first time, you'll keep looking. Who's really seeking him? Who heard him say where he is? I read some blog on sermon audio about some message by somebody that said, I don't have to go to church to worship the Lord. With a bunch of, and he started bad-mouthing churchgoers. Well, he hadn't heard what the Lord said, has he? That man's not going to find the Lord. He's not seeking the Lord because the Lord told us where he would be. Like the disciples, he told them to go to a certain place. He said, that's where I'll be. And the Lord is testing those who will leave everything and everyone and get up and arise and sacrifice to go where he is. Religion is not a thing of convenience. It's a thing of need, absolute necessity. As said before, you know, those that are in love, they go to great lengths to see the one that they love. Great lengths. Well, Hebrews 13 says this, Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Buried his reproach. She went looking for him in the streets and in the broadways. In the streets and in the broadways. Our Lord is not in the broadway. That's what he said, didn't he? He said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto the life, and few there be that find it. You can just follow the crowd like a bunch of animals going to the slaughter. You know, you don't have to look for anything. Just they're there. You see it. Everybody's going there.
Well, you know that's where the Lord's not. You know that. Because you're going to have to find it. You're going to have to seek it. And most often, those places are outside the camp. Like Fairmont, West Virginia. I told you that to this day, I finally know where that building is. After going there for 40 years. Honestly.
He's not in the broadway. He's not in broad religion. He's not in the highways and the hedges. No, he's not. The Lord is always to be found in two places. Even when he was on the earth. He was always found in the temple or a synagogue in whatever city he was in. You know that? Every single city and village that he went into, you'd find him on the Sabbath, in the Sabbath, in that synagogue with the people looking, seeking the Lord. They were seeking the Lord, and he showed up every time. Read it for yourself. Amongst his disciples, when they were cast out and couldn't meet in the temple, when the Pharisees cast them out, in other words, you'll find, and who were his disciples? Who were his disciples? Whom did the Lord choose for his disciples? Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. Who were they? Harlots and publicans and sinners. This man, his companions are sinners.
So you want to know where the Lord is to be found? I'll tell you. He's where sinners are.
If you want... He's not where the high and the mighty. He's not where the noble. He's not where the rich and famous are. He's not where everybody who's somebody is. No, no. He's not in the church where everybody's somebody. He's in the church where everybody's nobody. Harlots and publicans. Thieves and robbers. That's where you'll find him. Yes, you will. You go find you a place where everybody in there is just nothing but a sinner. And that's where Jesus Christ is. Always found. And he's always found in his word, but not necessarily by you. And like the Ethiopian eunuch was looking into the word, wasn't it? He couldn't find him until the man showed him. But at first, she tries many places. This bride tries many places. As do many people, don't they? Many people whom the Lord begins to work on, they try go looking many places. They do. And they don't find Him. But when they do, like she said,
I'm not going anywhere.
But look at verse 3. All right? She sought Him whom she loved, and she found Him not. Verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me. The watchmen found me seeking, found me looking for Him. Now, she didn't find Him until she ran into these watchmen. Romans 10, go over there with me. I'm not going to take it for granted everyone knows these verses, and I'm not going to just quote them to you. I want you to read them. Romans 10. Romans chapter 10, she did not find Him until she ran into these watchmen. And neither will we find the Lord Jesus Christ until we meet one of His watchmen. That's just a fact. Helen was telling me about her mother. I asked her when she first heard the gospel. She said her mother heard Henry Mahan. And began reading Spurgeon. As it was with you, wasn't it? You heard him. And these watchmen that you run into, you'll run into them throughout the Scriptures. They're everywhere. These watchmen. I was going to read to you Isaiah 21. My time is going by, but the Lord sets watchmen on the watchtower. They're always watching. They say, watchmen, what of the night? What of the night? The Lord has His watchmen, whom the Scripture says are they that watch for your soul. Prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. To do what? One thing. Point seeking sinners who are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Point them to Him. Like those priest holding up that ark as they were going through the Jordan so everybody could see. This is the way over. Romans 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written. And buddy, if the Lord sent you a preacher, this is what you'll think about His feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Like old Cornelius, when Peter came to his house, he fell at his feet and would have worshipped him. He was so happy that that man came. Now these watchmen, our woman said in our song, she said, they found me. They found me. You know, we preach the word that is called the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord that run to and fro throughout the earth. That the word of God is searches you out. Everything's naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do the Word of God, quick, powerful, sharper, and so forth. We preach the Word of God that finds us out. Finds us out. And what the people think, though, is that man, that somebody has told him about you. It was Champ Clark. You remember Champ and Opal Clark up on 13th Street. Older couple, both of them gone to be with the Lord now, but Opal was a believer for years, and her husband Champ was not, and but he'd come with her every now and then. And one day he came with Opal to service, and at the service she wanted to hang around and talk to everybody and greet everybody. He wanted to get out. He's mad. Want to get out. Grabbed her and said, "Get your stuff. Put it in." And on the way home, he said to her, "You've been talking to that preacher about me, haven't you?" You remember that, Mom? You've been talking to that preacher about me. "No, I haven't." "No, yeah, you have too. You've been talking to him about me." No, I haven't. "And sir, a word about you." That found me out. It found me. You know what? Most of the time, it's just a fact, but someone truly seeking, it'll be pretty evident to the man that's doing the preaching. Pretty evident. It's real evident when somebody's not. Real evident. When the light goes on, you know, you keep looking at somebody's faith, because the gospel is called a savor of life to life. Life to life. As face answered the face in the water, so does the face of the heart of man to the heart of man. You keep preaching this word of life, word of life. No response until finally someday. Until you see the eyes. You see movement. And you see. And then it become very apparent to everyone else. Countenance changes. The attention changes. Their lips, like Eli. Eli, when Hannah came into the temple, Eli spotted it. Saw her lips moving. And he went over and talked to her. And she told him her story. And that's when he said, "I got good news for you. You're going to have a child." And then Samuel, her son, remember? It was Eli. This boy came in and said, "You call him, man?" "No, I'm not talking to you." He knew. "The Lord's talking to you." They found me. They found me, these watchmen. Now, Paul one time was preaching to an impotent man, and he heard Paul speak. This impotent man heard him speak, and it says Paul, looking steadfastly on him, looking right into his eyes, steadfastly, perceived that he had faith to be healed. In other words, he saw this man is really poor and needy and seeking the Lord. And it's obvious the Lord has sent me to speak to him. And he's listening. And he's going to be healed. He's going to be healed. Look at what she does. See what happens here, verse 3. She says to them, "Have you seen him whom my soul loves?" They found her. You know, when the Lord deals with something, you don't have to ask them, really. You don't have to plead with them. Like the apostles at Pentecost, they just preached their message and sat down, and everybody came to them and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You don't have to tell people to repeat after you, they'll come asking you questions. She asked him, here's the question, here's how you know.
I want to see him.
Life has begun. Love began. It starts showing itself by loving the truth, hearing the truth, believing the truth, and asking. Asking. And a person who begins to hear the truth, I love this. When they come up to me and whatever, and look at a pastor and say, have you seen this? And maybe I haven't, but anyway, maybe I have. But it said, have you seen this? Look at this. Look at what I found. Have you seen him here? Have you seen this before? I need to find him. When you tell me where to find him, what do you reckon they told her? Huh? Do you think they knew where he was? This is the king. These are his watchmen. They told her, we know where you can find him. But I tell you what, you can tell somebody where he is, but you can't lead them to him. You can preach to somebody, but you cannot reveal Christ to them. Verse 4, read it. It says, but a little did I pass from them. It wasn't long. You see, there's no such thing. A scripture of people that seek long time and don't find the Lord. That's just not so. You're not seeking. Not so. It's just a little time. That's it. Just a little time after I heard them, I found them. Who found him? They didn't find him for her. She had to go looking at you. The watchman can only point people to Christ. He can't bring them to Christ. We must come to Christ. Our Lord said, ho, everyone that thirsts, come unto me. You must come unto Christ yourself. She passed from them. Christ must come to us and reveal himself to us. Philip, I was going to have you turn there. I knew. There's no way I could get through 11 verses, let alone 5. This is so amazing. But I was going to have you turn to the story of Philip. That the Lord found Philip, you say. You remember that? John chapter 1. The Lord found Philip and Andrew and James and John, all of them. He found them and called them. Well, Philip went running and told somebody else, we found him. We found him. The woman at the well, remember? The woman at the well, who was waiting on who? Who was seeking who? Irene. Who was seeking who? The Lord came to that well knowing that woman was going to show up. That was her day, and he sat there on the well waiting on her. And buddy, when he got through revealing himself to her, she dropped her water pot. And she went running to tell everybody, I found him. This is the Christ. She wasn't even looking until he sought her. That's what Isaiah 65 says. Then I sought of them that found me not. I found of them that sought me not. It wasn't but a little time, verse 4, till I passed from them, but I found him. Whom my soul loved. I found him. She was looking and she found him. And she said, I held him and would not let him go. You do have to turn to Genesis 32 with me. I promised Mac we'd look at this. Genesis 32, maybe his favorite story. Mine too. Genesis 32, and if you're a son of Jacob, it's your favorite story. Genesis 32, she said, I found him, and I laid hold of him, and I would not let him go. Genesis 32, verse 24. Jacob was left alone. You see, nobody can introduce you to the Lord. The Lord has to introduce himself to you, reveal himself to you. He was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. A man laid hold of him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. God-man laid hold of him and wrestled him. How long did he wrestle him? All night long. till the breaking of the day, till the day spring from on high arose. And when he saw, verse 25, the angel, that's the Lord, saw that he prevailed not against Jacob. What he saw was a man that really needed him and sought him. He touched the hollow of his thigh. He's going to change his walk forever. The hollow of Jacob's thigh, he's going to make him weaken. He's going to put him out of joint. And he wrestled with him, and he said, "Let me go, the day breaketh." And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Now that I have you, I'm not letting go. That's what she said. Go back to our text. "I found him whom my soul loveth, and I held him, and I would not let him go." You know why? Because he found you. And you know why you won't let him go? Because he won't let you go. And look at verse 4. She says, "I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me." In other words, she took him home to her people and said, "Look who I found." She's not ashamed. She's in love. She's thankful. She's a poor, needy Shulamite, black Shulamite maiden, and someone fell in love with her. The King of Kings, an altogether lovely Rose of Sharon and Lily of the Valley, fell in love with her and expressed his love to her. And she wants everybody to know it. And she's confessing him to her whole family. She went home and told her house, like our Lord told us, "Go home and tell what great things the Lord hath done for you." That's a person who's loved Christ. Like I said, that man telling his son and his whole family. I'll let you know this about that fellow I was just telling you about. His nephews and everybody are starting to come hear the gospel. The Lord bless that. Who's the last person you've told the gospel to? She brought him home. Brought him home to her chamber. And verse 5, she said, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, by the hinds of the field," by their example, in other words, as they sit in admiration and quiet and watch the sleeping king, "that you stir not up nor wake my love till he pleases." In other words, she's saying, "I don't want this to end." He's laid hold of me. I've laid hold of him. This is just too good to be true, and I don't want this to ever end. Don't anybody disturb me right now. Our brother John and Sister Mary has entered into this undisturbed rest. Unbroken peace. Unbridled joy of the Lord. You know what they're doing right now? Beholding the face of the beloved. Him whom they love. But who first loved them and washed them from their sins in their own blood. And they're enjoying right now eternal peace and eternal rest and joy with their Lord, rejoicing with joy unspeakable. And nothing and no one is going to ever disturb that. Is that what you want? I charge you. Let's go die with them. What do you say? Let's go join them. Stand with them. Our Lord, forgive this feeble vessel, but this is such a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and that if anyone is blessed, it's obvious. The excellency of the power is of God, not of man. Oh, and you can take a poor translation and a poor exposition and give life. Because it's your word, your seed. And Lord, this is what we pray for. Oh, how we ought to pour out our hearts before the Lord for us and our children, all about us.
for it's everlastingly too late. Today is a day of salvation. We need this so badly. We need to seek Thy face daily. We need to call upon You without ceasing. Oh, how we need to lay hold of eternal life and not let go. Lay hold of hope and joy, rejoicing of our hope steadfast unto the end. Oh, Lord, forgive us for being lukewarm. Forgive us for losing our first love. Forgive us. Forgive us, forgive us, Lord, for falling asleep. Cause us to rise and seek Thy face. Seek Your presence. Let the watchman smite us. It'll be a kindness. It won't break our heads. We pray again for our sister that You'd be with her in a special way. May this message be a special blessing to her. And all who seek Thy face. It's in the name of the blessed Lord we gather here tonight. Amen. You're dismissed.